Diaries of a Dyke.
Right, I'm welcoming to Doed Nix. I'm going to call you Nix, right? Is that cool?
Yeah, that's all good.
I'm actually really surprised I've caught you because you're always blimmin' making content, posting videos. I just saw on your Instagram literally like 2 minutes ago you posted a video.
Yeah, hard out. Nah, fuck off. I have been busy, but I'm trying to actually slow it down just a little bit because I kind of fucking burnt myself out a little bit, just putting on a massive expectation on my own self to create content, to put smiles on people's faces. And I kind of stopped listening to my body, you know, tell me, bro, we're tired, man, give us a fucking break. And I was like, no, bitch, no, we can't, you know. And then, oh, hello, not stuck in bed, couldn't get out of bed. So, oh, well.
Yeah, well, I mean, you bloody work really hard. I see you pumping out content, and for me, when I come from a radio background, that was like the job, right? The goal is content, content, make this, make that. And I'm like, damn, I'm not that much of an exciting person. Like, I get up and I eat breakfast and I go to work. So how do you even come up with the ideas that you come up with and the characters that you
I reckon I've fucking everybody has lived a out of it life. I have lived a real out of it life, and I just like to kind of reenact those experiences because some of them were pretty fucked. And I've got the wigs, you know, we're in lockdown, I've got the fucking time, so I just thought, ah, fuck it.
Hey, really quickly, because I feel like a lot of people that are tuning in, they know you as like Nix, as like the skit girl, as the funny chick on Instagram or Facebook, but do you want to tell us a little bit about you, like how you want to describe yourself for everyone that's listening?
Yeah, I suppose I've been through heaps, just like everyone else, I suppose. I lost a child who was 16 months old, my son. And I fucking went down a really dark spiral, out of control, drugs and all of that. And I lost my other children, my husband, everything. I lost everything. And then, 2 years ago, I ended up in jail. And when I got out, I thought, you know what, frick it, I'm going to get my shit together. And, I turned to Facebook to try to get my husband's attention, actually, you know, to try to show him, hey, look, I'm fucking sober. You know, I am giving it a go. Here, see, here's a video. I'm on my way to my voluntary job. You know, look, I'm going to my drug and alcohol counseling because I had bullshitted so much to him. I lost that faith from him, and I lost that trust and things. So he was kind of over listening, and I thought, well, fuck, I need to show him, you know. And so I started pulling out my phone and videoing myself, doing this, doing that. And along the way, people started to jump on board, like, oh, look at this bitch, what's she up to, you know. And then it started to build a little bit of a community, especially for those that have been down that road that I was down, and needed that little bit of motivation and encouragement that, fuck, this chick's doing it. Like, shit, if she can do it, fuck, I might be able to too. So I started to grow this community and things like that. And then I heard from my husband's mum, and she messaged me. She said, hey, we're watching. We're watching you. We're watching that you're really giving it a go. We want to let you know that the kids are here. When you're ready, you come home back to New Zealand and you can see your kids. And that was like, oh my God, I'm going to keep fucking going now, man. So I was like, double time, pull my phone out. And if I fell over, pull my phone out. Hey guys, I just fell over, you know. because in my mind, the people that I had intended for those videos to reach had reached them. And so I needed to continue to keep showing them, you know. And here I am 2 years later with a massive community that supports and encourages me. And I've got constant visitation with my children now, so.
That's amazing. Awesome. Yeah. How cool that it started from you just filming yourself on Facebook, hey?
I had lost everyone in the physical, my parents, my brothers, my family. Everyone had kind of lost hope. And, it wasn't their fault. I pushed them away because at that time in my life, I wasn't ready to hear shit, like, he's in a better place, you know, talking about my son, he's in a better place, oh God, didn't want him to be down here, you know, because it's such a terrible place down here. And I was just like, oh, shut the fuck up, you know, like, I don't give a fuck what God wants, like, I want him, you know. So I pushed my family away and things like, I didn't want to fucking hear that shit. And so when I came out of it, you know, it was hard for me to try to rein them back in and get them to believe that I'm really going to give this a good go now. So for me to turn to Facebook, I knew that everyone was on Facebook. And it worked. It worked. It worked. I'm tight as fuck with my parents now. My brothers are proud as fuck of me. My family is. So nah, it fucking worked, man.
Do you find that since, you know, Facebook has been on this journey since that, like, 2 years began, do you find that you've got, like, a family within the community?
Fuck yeah. I didn't actually realise that I would be able to, just by sharing my journey, the highs and the lows, I didn't realise that that was actually encouraging and inspiring other people. I just was like, fuck, I've found an outlet, because I'm not about that life of going to counsellors, because I'm just like, ah, oh, ain't nobody got time for that, you know. I went there, I unloaded for 1 hour, and then you told me to fuck off till next week, you know, and I'm like, you didn't give me no tools on how to deal with everything I just unloaded. So I turned to Facebook, and that became my counselling. Anything that was on my mind, fuck, I just put it out there. I didn't give a fuck who was listening. I had just finally found something where I could unload and then turn my phone off. Boom, holy shit, I feel way lighter. And I'm sorry that I've put it all on your fella's shoulders, you know. But I feel lighter. That was my whole thing. So, yeah, nah, it's been fucking awesome. That's why I do a lot of traveling. I try to get out there and meet the people that have supported me right from the start, because without them, I most definitely wouldn't be here.
I think that, I don't know if you realize or not, but you are actually probably counseling people as well without even knowing, you know, like, people are seeing your videos and they're relating to you, and they're, you know, like, because I remember I was listening to you live the other night, and the things that you were saying, I was just like, yes, I was like, where's this girl been? Like, I don't even know you, but I felt so connected. And just the things that you were saying with, like, your struggles and your triumphs and your success. And I just don't think
that too many people talk about it. I know there's a lot of people that have had been down struggle street, but they just don't talk about it openly. And for me, I was in a situation where if I didn't, I had no one to talk to. That's how it all started. I had no one to fucking talk to, you know. And I think I definitely don't give a fuck what anyone thinks, because at the end of the day, when I was sitting on the ground down a dark alleyway in Struggle Street, where the fuck were those people then? All those people with their judgment and their fucking, where the fuck were you when I needed you? You weren't anywhere. So why do you think I would need your opinions now? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what also attracts people, is because a lot of people aren't that open in that, because there are a lot of people that worry about, you know, others' opinions. That's why I try to strongly encourage people not to give a fuck. Don't give a fuck. They're not paying your bills. They're not putting food on your children's bellies. They're not paying for the roof over your kids' heads. Why should they matter, you know? All their energy that you are investing into worrying about these people that play no part in your journey, you actually could be investing their energy over here to something more productive that will benefit your fucking journey and your children's, you know? So, yeah.
So what's your background? Like, you know how you said you moved to Aussie and then your son passed away, and quite open with this, how you turned to meth and prostitution. Can we talk a little bit about that and what led you on that path? Because I really like the story of you coming out the other side.
What led me down the path of drugs and prostitution? It was this traumatic event because, and I think I like to make it clear that for 27 of my years, I was stone cold sober. You know, I was about my husband. I was about my children. I couldn't give a fuck about the rest of the world. All my entire life was under my fucking roof. And that's the type of person I was. And then this traumatic event happened that none of us could have prepared for. You know, my family hasn't had a child pass away. You know, we haven't. I think the last child that passed away in my family should be older than me. So, and that was years ago. No one could prepare. And even still, you don't prepare for that. When it happened, it was like, fuck, you see this shit on TV. This don't happen to me. You know, this don't happen to me and my fucking children and my husband. And I suppose I just didn't know what to do, and I sought refuge in methamphetamine because it was my options were to go this way to counseling, which would be maybe 1 hour a week. You know, I can't even imagine how many fucking weeks I would have had to go to grievance counseling for me to gather the tools required for me to be able to get through that traumatic event. Or I could go over here, pick up a pipe, and within 10 minutes I've forgotten the whole fucking event took place. So it was about that quick fucking, I need to get rid of this feeling. And then obviously with addiction, you know, you need to pay for that somehow. And so that led me to prostitution because I thought, well, I've got a body. You know, I can use it. These men want my body and I want their money because I need that meth because I need to fucking bury all these feelings that I'm feeling, bury my reality. And so that's how it just goes from one thing to another. Yeah, and that's pretty much how I fucking got into that. So, yeah.
Sorry to take it away from the serious note, but I saw your video that you posted today off the live. Man, you must have had some crazy stories from your prostitution days, like the one with the guy and he was lying on his tummy.
That was fucked. It's crazy. But at the end of the day, it's like, hey, well, fuck, I need that money. Yeah. You know, you want to play this game? Fuck, sweet ass, let's play. But give me, you better pay me first, chief.
Because for people that are not listening, that haven't seen the video, Nix, you are saying that you walked out to do the deed for your client.
Yeah, yeah.
Lying on his stomach and pretty much his bum was facing towards you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He wanted me to look his ass.
And you were just like, do you know I'm a girl? Like, what are you?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, I don't know why you didn't get a male. Like, fuck, he would have licked your ass and fucked it. I just don't even know. But, you know, there's a lot of men that they do like that, but they feel like if they get a female to do that, you know, then they're not gay.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, fuck, and I don't deserve the shit. I'm feeling used out here. using me as some kind of cover up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've heard some stories on this podcast, Doad, about that, about people, you know, gay people being in straight relationships with kids and stuff
to cover
up their sexuality.
Really
quickly, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on this podcast as well, not only because you're freaking amazing and I love everything you're about, but also because on your live you said you were bisexual. And I just loved what you had to say about it, and you were just like, who gives a fuck what you are?
Yeah, because somebody asked me, you know, I did say that I was bisexual, and somebody asked me, like, how did you feel about telling, you know, people that you were bisexual? And the first thing I wanted to, you know, state was that when you tell someone, that is only because you want to. You are not expected to tell people what your sexuality is. You know, even when I told my parents, I don't even think I told my parents. The only one I specifically told was my 16-year-old son. And, you know, for obvious reasons. And how I told him was just like, Trey, you know how, you know, like, fucking met women like men, And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, well, mum likes women as well. And he was like, you know. And I was just like, hey, it is what it is. You know, you're going to love me regardless. You know, who I fucking go to bed with is none of your goddamn business.
Yeah.
So in the rest of the world, you know, I'm just like, if someone chooses to tell you about their sexuality, that's a choice that they have made. And I just don't think anyone has the right to expect somebody else's sexuality. That doesn't belong to you. That belongs to this person. That's theirs. And they shouldn't be made to feel ashamed of it. You know? So for me, I've had a, I had a baby at 14. I met my my older boy's dad at like 13. And I stayed with him till 19. And then we broke up for 2 weeks and I met this man that was 10 years older than me. I stayed with him for 2 years and then I left him for my husband, who I then had the 3 babies to. So ever since like 14, I have been wifed up with men. But there was always that thing in the back of my mind, like, fuck, I was... I think I was in denial and I would actually take it out on my men. You know, like I would say, why the fuck are we watching Jersey Shore? You know, you're just trying to look at this bitch's tits, you know? And I think it was me because I was looking and I was putting it on to him and he's like, fuck, I'm not even watching it for that. And I was like, fuck your shit. And I turned back and that's all I'm staring at is this bitch, Jay Whale's fucking tits, you know? So, and when I got out of jail 2 years ago and I decided, you know what, I'm going to make a commitment to myself that I am not going to run into the arms of another man. You know, I have been shaped and molded to be what these men want me to be ever since age of 14, be the perfect girlfriend, the perfect wife, the perfect mother, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't actually know who the fuck I am. So I made a commitment that I was going to go off on my road to recovery and also start the self-discovery journey alone. And then I thought as well, well, hey, you know, maybe I'll fucking see what this whole, you know, thing about females is like. Why not? I mean, shit, let's see what, let's have a dabble, you know? and I have, and then I kind of realized, oh, hang on a minute, fucking hell, it's like, so many emotions and so many fucking all in one ball, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm trying to figure me out and now I gotta figure you out, and you know, we are just two of the same species. And so yeah, I mean, I and how I put it is, hey man, one day I might want chicken and the next day I might want a steak. Hey, who am I, you know? Like, fuck, why not? So I don't know what my future, you know? I don't know whether I end up with a female, whether I end up with a man. I don't want to think about that shit. I just want to have fun.
Well, what do you think? What do you think of the physical side of being with a woman?
Did you? Oh, I love it. Yeah, I fucking love it. But the funny thing is when I'm with a female, I don't actually like them touching me. I just like touching them and doing everything to them. I just don't like it done to me. Yeah,
that's interesting. Maybe are you?
Yeah, usually, I know.
Are you usually like the dominant lover, no matter if it's like a male or a female?
No. When it's a male, oh my god, oh my god, oh my fucking god, you know. But when I'm with a female, I just naturally become the dominant one.
Okay. Are you attracted to certain females? You know, like, are you?
No, I am. Nah, fuck it. No, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I walk into Foot Lockers. I don't know exactly what I'm going in there for, but shit, it'll jump out at me when I see it. I know it.
And you're always kind of drawn towards a certain shoe as well, eh? You're just like, oh.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, one day I might like Nikes, the next day Adidas. Who knows?
Oh, hey, if the shoe fits, all good.
Yeah, that's it.
Did you? So, yeah. So was your first experience with a girl only like recently? Because, I mean, like you said.
No. Oh, okay. it was way back in that, but still I was like, I actually cheated on someone with my fucking mate. But I was still like, nah, that's not my route, you know? Like, of like when I got pregnant at 14, I was like, okay, well, this is obviously the road that I'm taking. Even though growing up and shit, you know, I remember fucking having a sleepover with a girl and we were tip and tail and I grabbed her foot and was riding her fucking sock, you know, like. So, but then when I got pregnant at 14, you know, I was like, okay, well, fuck, obviously I'm supposed to be with men for my life, you know, but it wasn't until, and yeah, I would, you know, I would hook up with a chick here and there, but I was just like, no, you know, I've already had a baby, shit, this is my thing over here. So, yeah, when I, 2 years ago, I was like, okay, nah, you know what, this is me. I actually do like fucking females, and I like men. Mm. You know, I'm not going to fucking try and hide it now. And now I'm at the thing where, hey, it is what it is. Whatever the universe provides is what I'm going to eat. No.
How did that go in jail? Like, what's it like in jail?
Nah, man. It was like, yeah, nah, because in there, people are too territorial and shit like that. You don't know if you, people are too territorial, you don't know if this person's owned, you know, and the last thing you want to do is get into it because you're staring at Amy over here and, oh, fuck, yep. Eyes down, Nick's eyes down, play it safe.
So it's not like Orange is the New Black, nothing like that.
Nah, fuck no. But, yeah, nah, I just stuck to, you get a fucking prison issue. Where is it? You get a prison issue. Oh, yeah, there it is. You get this fucking prison issue in jail. And so this just like became my fucking best friend in jail. And I just thought, oh, you know, that's way safer than fucking around with girls, you know, because.
Wait, what? I missed that whole thing. What is it? What's the prison what?
Oh, yeah. When you get into jail, you get one of these underarms. And so I just chucked a glove on it. Because I was just like, oh, I don't want to get fucking caught up in this shit, you know, with these girls.
You're in prison. You got to do what you got to do, right?
You got to fucking do what you got to do, yeah. Hard out.
That's going to keep you out of trouble. Damn. Yep. Okay. So we went on the journey from you coming out the other side. And how did you beat your addictions?
Yeah, well, you need to... Well, I had to look at it and think, okay, so I was sober for 27 years, you know, and then I turned into a raging meth addict. You know, if we just not focus on the fact that I'm a drug addict and we rewind the reel, you know, and we have a look at this particular part of the timeline, you know, and maybe if we do a little bit of repairing on this particular part, that might alter the, you know, the course that I ended up taking. So when I was in jail, I decided, you know what, fucking, this is the first time really that I'm going to have to deal with this particular part of the timeline, the trauma, because I had been running from it. Every time it tried to come up in my mind, I fucking drowned it out with methamphetamine. But now that I was in jail, I was like, fuck, that's not an option. And that's quite scary. You're going to have to face your fucking demons head on, you know? And so I did. I thought, okay, I'm going to have to acknowledge the fact that he's not going to be able to come back. He's not coming back. I'm going to have to take responsibility for all the actions that I have taken since then, you know, because I had spent so many years blaming everyone, blaming God, blaming my parents, blaming my husband, shit like that. And I was just deflecting it all because I didn't want to look at my fucking self. And I had to do that. And I did. I did do that. And because I dealt with that particular part of the timeline, I dealt with that trauma, there was no need for me to continue masking it with methamphetamine. You know, because I had dealt with it. I wasn't taking methamphetamine prior to that, just for recreational use, you know. I was taking it to mask something. And because I had dealt with it, there was no longer a need for me to mask it because it didn't exist anymore. I had dealt with it, so.
So I feel like you're saying, you know, anyone that's struggling with addiction, it's in your mental, right? You have to deal with that side of things.
Yeah, you have to deal with the pain. And a lot of people, they don't want to. They don't want to deal. It's too hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so much easier just to fucking bury it and move forward. But you need to realize you're not moving forward. You're not moving forward at all, you know. You're existing, but you're not fucking living. And you won't start living until you deal with that fucking trauma, you deal with that pain, you know, and then you can carry on without that massive burden on your shoulders. So that's what I did. And it fucking worked.
I think it's the hardest thing, you know, like loving yourself. Hey, and like digging really fucking deep to get to those deep issues and bringing the trauma to the surface and just being like, fuck, okay, this is what's happening. I need to deal with this rather than just numbing it.
And
it's a really hard thing to do. So I really admire your mental strength. And I am just so grateful that I had the opportunity to say it to your face that, man, kudos to you.
Yeah, it's been hard, but worth it. Definitely worth it. I mean, I see my kids and, you know, listen to my son call me gay, you know. makes my entire day, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I worked so hard to come this far for my son to call me gay. Yeah. He says everything I fucking do is gay, so.
How old is he?
Yeah, he's 10, she's 9, and my oldest boy's 16.
Cool. So are they there in New Zealand and you get to see them?
Yeah. I just went and took them to a safe haven before this whole lockdown. They're out on a farm and fucking living their best life. And yeah, so I'll be picking them up straight after this.
Cool. That's awesome. What do they think about mum being like, I guess, Facebook, Instagram famous? Do they know?
They know. They love it. Sometimes when I pick them up, as soon as they get in the car, mum, why aren't you doing your live? I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, and I'll have my live and they'll grab my phone and fucking run off. Kia ora whanau, you know, they love it. My son, he's a heart out on TikTok and he's like, mum, I'm gonna change my name to CWK Geordie so that when people type it, and I'm like, bruh, I'm feeling used and abused.
He's smart.
Yeah, oh, he's smart as he jumps on my lives. He's like, hey, whanau, follow my page. I'm like, oh, bro, you better shut your ass there, boy.
So what does it stand for people that don't know, your Instagram handle?
CWK is, that's my Facebook page, Cook Whanau Kōrero with Nick. CWK is. I wish I could just change my Facebook page. I started it because that terminology, cooked, is like, oh, bro, fuck, this comes random. You know, those kinds of random as. And then I just thought, well, that's exactly what I am, you know. Like, fuck, I don't want to, if I called it meth recovery, you know, I don't want to be bound to fucking meth, you know, just constant. Oh, fuck that. I'll get bored as hell. So I thought, no, cooked, whanau, kōrero. Yeah, that's what I'm about. Because, man, one day I want to talk about, you know, men fucking lying on their stomach with their ass out. The next day, I might want to talk about depression. The next day, I might want to talk about, you know, cooking. I just didn't want to be bound. So,
How does a normal day for you look? Do you meet up with Facebook and they tell you what you have to post? Or are you just like, oh, I've got these ideas?
Oh, no, fuck no. No. I post when I want.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I post when I want. How does a normal day look? Oh, fucking hell. I don't know.
Where do you live, man? Because there's always people at your house.
Oh, I live in Huntley. I live with my mate and her two daughters. But we live in an old, like, fucking police station, so it is massive.
Oh, wow.
So we get our own fucking, you know, I could go a whole day without even seeing any of them. And I love my space, so even when I'm home and shit, I'm always in my room. This is where I'm at, so.
Yeah, because I can see you've got like all your wigs and stuff in the background.
Yeah.
How did you even come up with your characters? Is that just from life experience?
Yeah, from life experience. I go for my walks and that, and I just keep an eye on what the fuck's going on, trending on Facebook, you know, like stupid shit. And then I think, oh, yeah. Or if I start seeing, you know, when this whole lockdown went down, and people were fucking getting too easily offended, and I thought, I need to fucking do something, because I need to show you fellas how you look, how you sound, you know. So yeah, I like to do my skits and all the characters in that my own self, because then people are going to get offended. Say I brought some other characters in and I brought a Pākehā in, it will get flipped, and then people are going to be like, oh, why did you use that person? Yeah. Why couldn't you? So I'm like, okay, you know, I'll play all of the fucking characters myself, so nobody can feel targeted and shit like that, you know, because I've got to keep that in mind. So I don't want people feeling fucking targeted. You know,
well, that's the world of social media, right? Every like your skit, everyone's going to be offended by
something, you know. Like, yeah, it's fucking stupid.
What are your hobbies outside of creating?
I like to get out there, eh? That's probably why this lockdown's been fucking out of it. I like to get out there. I like to do art. I like to have routine and structure, man. Fuck, I used to live every day. These last 2 years, I've lived every day out of my diary. If it ain't in my diary, I'm not fucking doing it. I literally have to schedule in days where I fucking have a rest, you know, in my diary. And since it's lockdown, I haven't even looked at it. It's probably fucking feeling abandoned, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. And this lockdown's been testing as, but what I keep telling myself and everyone else is, you know, we're sacrificing our mental health in order to save lives right now. Yeah. And that's what we're fucking doing, and that we should feel good about that, because realistically, you know, we don't have to stay home. I could fucking jump in my car right now and go to one of my mates, you know, but I choose not to. Even though my mental health is taking a beating, because I'm sitting in the same fucking room every day, you know. It's a good sacrifice. We're saving lives. So yeah.
And fingers crossed we should be there soon. But one of the skits I loved also was when you were being Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister.
I like doing that.
I was going to say, I was going to ask you if you've met her yet, but I saw you post a picture that you have.
Yeah, I met her. Fuck, you wouldn't believe how many people have been messaging me like, hey, why is she in your fucking bubble? I'm like, oh, get the fuck out of here. Holy shit. Hey, she's not fucking 2 meters away. Like, literally swearing, messaging me.
Whoa.
I'm like, oh my God, block. Yeah, I just decided to do those Jacinda Ardern videos because I was just like, oh, bro. Again, whenever I do skits, there is always an underlying message, you know, and I needed people to see how ridiculous, especially some of those reporters, this is how ridiculous you fucking sound. Maybe if you watch this, you will see how fucking pathetic some of your questions are. And then I needed to do one because I needed people to, that were watching her announcements, I needed them to see how fucking pathetic their questions were on those lives, you know? So the only way for me to do that is, A, jump on a public live and say, hey, fuck yeah, rah, rah, or put it into some type of little fucking skit, which not only will pump that message out, but will also give me a break from the seriousness of my live streams, you know, and give me an opportunity to be a little bit creative and things like that. So it was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll choose that route.
Yeah, they were great. Bloody great. I saw that on your live also, that you like, you know, for travel, and you said you're allowed to leave the country soon. I don't know when the heck we're going to be able to travel next, but you wanted to go to the Cook Islands. I saw that.
Yeah, I do, but I just am worried about the fucking Wi-Fi there.
Yeah, I'm half Rarotongan. I know it doesn't look like it, so pale. But let me know if you want to go over. My auntie, she's like bougie. She owns a nightclub over there and stuff, and she's got all good.
What?
So come
with me. Fuck. Yeah, fuck yeah, Kane.
No, I think Vodafone's going over there.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything. That's the only reason I haven't gone over there, because, you know, like, if I go and do something, I like to share that experience. And I was just like, fuck. I fucking go crazy if I go somewhere and I can't fucking jump on and talk to the supporters and things like that, you know?
So you're saying with your mental health, you know how you're like, well, you're struggling a little bit with being inside and being isolated and stuff. What's your kind of like meditation and stuff for your mental health? What do you do to kind of get that on track? Do you have any kind of...
My fucking pro satisfier too.
Your what?
Pro satisfier too. and I talk it out, eh? I talk to the supporters and things like that, you know, whether I'm feeling good or whether I'm feeling ratchet as fuck, man, I lay it on them. Mm. What else do? I try and get out for a walk, but, you know, the weather here in Huntley has been fucking shit. So, and I just don't want to get myself into the habit of hopping on my bed and watching a Netflix. I don't want to fucking get into that habit, you know, because...
Yeah.
It'll be too hard for me to get back into my normal shit once all the shit's over. So, it's been cool. A lot of people been reaching out to do podcasts and interviews and fucking shit like that. So that keeps me a little bit busy.
Yeah, just because you got such a cool story and I think it really needed to be shared. I'll let you go. I'll just quickly, is it cool if I just ask like a couple of just like really like just dumb mindless questions just for fun?
Yeah, hard.
Describe your perfect kiss in 3 words.
Wow. oh shit. Long, soft, and warm. I don't know. Oh my god, I've never had a cold kiss. That would be
long, soft, and warm. All right, we'll take that. And if you were like to go on a date, would you rather like have a date in, like dinner, watch a movie and stuff, or go out?
Probably go out, because we all know where the date in is gonna lead. So probably go out, you know, so they can spend a bit of money on me, and then we'll go back and do what we would have done if we had stayed indoors anyway. So now it's just a little bit more break, so that's cool.
Are you
German
or?
Yeah, I kind of am. But I'm real staunch to like, I'm on my journey of self-discovery. I'm still trying to figure out who I am. I'm still trying to love my own self. And I'm at that thing where I don't think it would be fair to anyone if I tried to include them when I've got so much work to do, you know? So
and that's so cool that you can recognize that as well.
Yeah, hard.
Do you wash your legs in the shower?
Yeah, hard.
Okay, anyway. Like I got roasted when I was on the radio for that, because I mean, okay, I'm having a shower, right? Washing my face, doing all my top, blah blah blah, you know, wash downstairs, and then the water and the soap just drip. Like I don't get down and like I shave my legs, so that's kind of washing at the same time.
Oh yeah, no, same. I don't purposely like lift my legs up so that water just misses my body and aims straight for my legs. Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I got roasted for that.
I got backs. got your back.
One more question for you is, it's a Dear Diary question. It's something we do on the podcast where the listeners, they just ask a question and then I ask the guest. The Dear Diary question today is, where do you meet other gay people?
In my DMs.
Really?
Yes.
In the DMs.
Yeah.
I think
I'm not saying that I respond, but I'm just saying they're there.
Are they usually the same kind of people?
No.
All different walks. So that's where you might meet gay people, but I guess for everybody else, I don't fucking know. There's not really many gay clubs or anything in like Auckland.
Oh, I've never been to fucking, I don't go anywhere actually. I really am quite fucking boring. To be honest, I mean this fucking lockdown is the most that I think I've drank more in this lockdown than I did last year kind of shit. You definitely kind of won't see me at a club, you know, waving my hands in the air like I just don't care. Yeah, nah. So DMs is probably the only spot that you'll catch me.
So you're saying you might answer the DMs, or depending?
I don't like to, because fuck, I feel like if I respond in there, you know, like I think it's just my nature that I might unknowingly lead them on, and then, you know, so I'm just like, okay, just don't even go down that track. You know, if you know that you're, your kindness might be interpreted in another way, that's potentially going to lead you to trouble, you know, and we don't have energy for that. So just don't reply, you know. I've blocked people because I'm just like, oh man, I'm sorry. You know, and I say it all the time. I take it as a compliment. Don't get me wrong, but and I also take it as a trap. Like you're trying to trap me.
block.
So that's me anyway.
All right, cool. Well, hey, I really appreciate your time. I've got a lot out of that. And I think everyone that's listening as well would have. Anything you want to leave on? Anything you want to?
No. Yeah, I will. I'm keen about that Cook Islands thing. Straight up.
100%. Whenever we're allowed to travel again, come over. It's absolutely beautiful. I try to go back at least like once or twice a year.
Where are you?
Where am I? In lockdown, I'm in Tauranga, but I'm based in Auckland. That's where I live. Yeah, so I'm Huntley's not far. We'll have to meet up sometime, have a drink.
Yep.
Properly meet you. But yep, do you want to drop your handles and stuff and your Facebook for people to jump
yeah up. Yeah, so Cooked Whānau Kōrero with Nix is my Facebook, CWK Nix is my Instagram.
Sweet, cool. And hey, keep doing you, you're absolutely amazing. You put a smile on my face, and I know a whole lot of other people as well, trust me. You've got a big fan base. So keep doing you. Take care, and I'll catch you soon. Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yep, hard.
All right
then.
See you, girl. See ya. Take care, love and light.